We're going to have a fun time of interviewing some folks that have been on trips this year. And I hope that during this time that you will just take a minute and kind of think, hey, what part do I need to play? We've looked at some numbers already. Thank you for being such a generous church. What can you do more this year? You've done good, but what more can you do this year? Maybe you're going to be called through some of these interviews to say, hey, I could go on a trip like that. If you are, man, the Lord will use it to bless you and your family in the ways that you're going to hear. We're going to start with Mr. Buddy Thibodeau. I'm going to ask him to come on up. This year we took three trips to Ecuador, to Casa de Fe, ministry we're all very knowledgeable on. Patty Sue Arnold from our church started this mission in Casa in Shell, Ecuador. I'm going to hand you this, so keep holding it. And you went on the first trip, buddy, in January. And like a lot of men out here this morning, Buddy has sent his family on mission trips multiple times. If you know Casa de Fe, you've seen his family members have been on almost every trip. What made you go this time? What kind of called you to that next step?
My family. It was my daughters. It was my wife. It was my son, who was up here last year, Will. And he said, Daddy, you got to go. It'll change you. And it did. It really did. Those children will change you. Patty Sue will change you. It's just the love that you see in everyone down there for those children. Just the sense that just the little things that they have mean so much to them. And, you know, we live in a world here in Mississippi that it's right there at our feet. We can reach out and get it at any time that we want. They struggle for just the daily routine things in life that they need. But when they have it, it just blesses their heart to no end. And that touched me deeply.
That's awesome. And, you know, you guys, our church is very involved in that ministry. And I want you to know that the things you do here really make a tangible difference the lives of all of those there. And there is a great love, the Tias, the other helpers. Man, it's just an amazing community down there. Mm-hmm. Now, when you go on a trip, sometimes you get kind of other little side experiences. You mentioned one of those to me mm-hmm. when we were talking about your trip. Yes. Tell us about that.
Well, that Sunday morning, Eddie, who works and lives at Casa, he invited us to church that morning. And by all means, yes, we were going to go just to experience what they go through in their worship service. And walking into that little church about a mile and a half down the road, up on a hill, just in the outskirts of the town, when we walked through that door, you could feel the presence of God. And just a simple music that was played by guitar, a drum, and three singers. And that song, Because He Lives, was sung in five different languages that morning. And just to look at the church, and you could just feel God's presence there. And I told Sherry when we left there that morning, I said, wow. You know, you don't get that every day. But for me, it was truly the work of God that I felt.
That's so awesome. I'm going to ask you to stay right here. We'll come back to you in just a minute. I'm going to ask my next, Renee. Mr. Renee Hudson's going to come up. Now, Renee went on a different a trip that we haven't done before, and we're not going to mention names or exact countries where she went for certain reasons, but she went to the Central Asia area, if you think about that 1040 window in the Eastern Hemisphere there, through Africa all the way through Asia. They were in the middle of that, and you had a very unique experience. Tell us some of the lessons that you learned about yourself. And those that you met while you were on your trip.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I do want to thank the church for supporting us financially and with your prayers. All those things that Brother Greg mentioned about the finances just pulled together in such a wonderful way for us this year. All the giving that you did to the garage sale, the budget money, the Margaret Lackey Fund. We were able to just concentrate on the preparations for our trip and not have to worry about the finance part. So that was great. And I also want to especially thank several of you, a lot of you, who gave either money or items to help us fill some gift bags for a lot of the lady workers that happened to be in the city when we were there. And we filled those gift bags for them to overflowing, and they really felt loved and appreciated. So, and then there were some other gifts and support that we had. But yes, this trip, I wanted to be intentional about learning about preparing to be able to share the gospel in a clear way with this particular people group. I knew this because on a previous trip about 10 years ago, when I went to visit these same friends when they lived in a different country, I had the opportunity to share. And as soon as I started, I realized that I did not know how to do that clearly to these people. And I was also hesitant because I was afraid I would say something that would cause problems for our host families. So I basically froze. So this time, I asked our friend there if she had a resource that I could use to prepare. She gave me the name of a small book, and I studied that, and then I prayed earnestly that God would help me to share if that opportunity came. I learned that I can use a previous failure to intentionally prepare for the next time, should it arise, and to give me the incentive to do that carefully so that it doesn't happen again. And by the way, God graciously did arrange a time for me to share the good news clearly with a sweet woman there.
That's awesome. You guys had so many neat experiences. I know y'all were there refreshing some friends, seeing a lot of local believers. Share maybe a story or something about how you saw God at work in people, your team, your people y'all met. Share something like that from your.
Well, we did. We had a busy schedule from start to finish when we were there. We were able to our very first evening meet with the women that were there from all over Central Asia, colleagues of our friends that we went to see. It was our desire to encourage them in their work, to fellowship with them as sisters, and to pray fervently for their needs. So we ended that evening by washing the feet of each lady that was there and praying over her as we did so. And it was just such a blessed time for both us and them. The next day we traveled to an orphanage that is run by a believing widow that has been friends with our friends for a while. Connie Hodges was in charge of those children's activities, so you know that was a blessed day. The Saturday that came up next, we met with women and teenage girls in the church where our friends are members. Ann Brantley and Addison Waltman were fellowshipping with the teenage girls. They had to kind of step in at the last minute and lead a breakout for them because so many of them came more than we expected. So they did a great job with that, and they even had a non-believing visitor that happened by and accepted their invitation to join them. And then Teresa taught in our group, and we just had a blessed time of Bible study and then some wonderful fellowship. Now, all of these were with believers that were there, so that was wonderful. The last day of our ministry, we were in two teams, and Brantley and Brooke Wells went to work with a doctor that is friends with our friends, and Brantley was, I mean, Brooke was able to use her occupational therapy skills to help some of the patients there. The rest of us traveled to a village where there are no known believers. Because of a project that our friends are doing with the school there to help purchase them equipment, we were invited to come and lead an English class. So our purpose and prayer for that was to show, to strengthen the connection between our friends and the school administrator, Patina. We believe it was a huge success. She was glad about what we had done with the children, and then she invited us, along with some of the staff, to eat lunch in the village, the village cafe. And then we walked through the village as we were visiting. We visited her sister, and this is very rare. We don't get to go into homes like that usually. But we were able to visit the homes of two of her sister-in-laws, and then in the home of her sister. And then we returned to her home for the evening meal and more fellowship. As we were leaving about 9 o'clock that night, our friend made the comment that her husband had never sat in the room with him before when he was there visiting. Her husband had decided to join us as we showed a video on their TV of Aaron and Addison working on their farm. He, too, was a farmer, and so he had horses, cows, and chickens, and he had lots of questions. So our friend was able to act as the interpreter, and that opened the door for more interaction, and we're hoping that that is only the beginning.
Y'all keep praying for that opportunity. You know, when you're in that 10:40 window, there's so many areas that are hostile to the gospel, and you got to find creative ways to make connections with people, and that was just a really neat story. All right, let's get our next missionary, Wendy Smith. Wendy went on our second Ecuador trip in May. Get her up here. And thank you for sharing, Wendy. Wendy, now when we were talking, you mentioned this was around your 13th mission trip. That's pretty awesome. Talk about seeing God at work in the lives of the Tias down there. Tell us about your experience with that.
The Tias are, unlike you, women that work week on and week off. Isn't that correct? And they're with these children 24 hours a day. And you'd think they'd get up. They'd get tired of them, and I'm sure they do at night when they go to bed. They say a lot of prayers. Not all children are handicapped, and they're all normal children, whether they're their special need or not. But these women, they love these children. It's not a job for them to leave their families for 7 days. They're coming to another family for 7 days. It was a social worker. It's a physical therapist, and it's a nurse. And every one of them protected those children as their own.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. As we think about, you know, our church reaches out to this mission in a special way. What were some of the needs maybe that you saw that we could kind of step our game up a little bit to try to help meet? So many special needs areas you mentioned down there. The love is amazing. There is a family. But they have physical needs that they have. I know we've done some different tablet things in the mm-hmm. past to try to just give them some specialty help. You mentioned maybe you saw a need like that. What would you tell us about that?
Well, I know that Patty Sue is in the middle of a building campaign right now, and she's building and preparing for three homes. And yes, that is a great need, because it will supply these children that live in one room for young boys, and one room for young girls, and one room for older boys, and one room for older girls, to finally have a true home and not a room full of bunk beds. Now, believe me, those children, they don't know what they're missing. When you don't have it, you don't miss it. But while we were talking about that and we were taking a tour, in a corner on the back patio was this funny looking wheelchair. It was long, and may I show a picture? It's easier just to show it than to explain it. It's called an all-terrain trike. Of course, I got curious. I said, what is that about? And she said, well, that's how we transport our physically special needs children. And without it, they can't go. And I said, you only have one. Right now, y'all have five children. How do you choose the one to leave behind, the four to leave behind? And how do you explain to those four they can't go? Y'all, I went that night and I cried. And I cried because there had to be a child left out. I said I wasn't doing this, Steve, and I did it anyway, didn't I? But how do you tell a child, you can't go because we don't have wheels for you because your legs don't work. Your body can't lay straight. You might can walk 10 feet, but you can't walk the creek bed. Well, that's a need for those babies. And there'll be more babies in the future like that.
That's right. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing. You can already tell these mission trips have meant so much to these people and their families. And you just see needs. Your eyes open to needs. And when you have a need like that, if there's a way we can help meet those, we need to do it. All right, let's get our next two missionaries. We got a very special treat. We're going to have Landon and Jeremiah coming up, Landon Smith and Jeremiah Layton. You know, we've been talking about this 1040 window. And when you think about the 1040 window, there are estimated about 12,000 people groups in the world. Those are people with a unique language, with a unique culture. And about 8,500 of those groups live in this 1040 window. And when you think about those 8,500, there are 5,900 that we categorize as unreached people groups. Now, you guys had a very unique experience where you were kind of on the tip of the spear as far as trying to reach these unreached people groups. Some you're just trying to find the people groups, number one. Talk to us about the treks y'all took. We're not going to mention the specific location y'all were in again because of certain political reasons, but you can tell it was a place where they wear a little different clothing. And talk to us about these were this was not just easy little walks. These were serious mountain treks. We'll mention that. And you got talk to us about that. What was the purpose of those? And tell us a little bit some of the details of those.
Yeah, so I'll first address the elephant in the room. This is not traditional Southern Baptist attire. This is actually traditional South Asian attire. So, but yeah, we got to go to South Asia, and we got several opportunities to trek in the mountains to reach these people. And so one specific thing that was just so cool is we had this opportunity where the guys we were with, they said, hey, there's this people group we've heard of that we know are up in these mountains. We want to go locate better where they are so that we can actually make an effort to reach them with the gospel. So this was actually a people group that would be considered unengaged, unreached. So unreached, I think the IMB classifies that as like less than 2% Christian, but then unengaged is there's not even an active like effort to get the people these gospel, whether it's because we don't know exactly where they are or whatever reason. So they said, we know this people group is somewhere in this area. We want to go find them so that we can reach them with the gospel. And so we began trekking. It was very tough. Like, we're trekking through the mountains 12 hours a day, 15 miles a day. I think our longest day was 23 miles of trekking. But so we're just hiking, and there wasn't much opportunity for us to share the gospel on that trip. Some areas that we were in, there were a lot more opportunities, a lot more people for us to share with. So that was something that I kind of had to deal with in my heart of I'm not getting to share, but understanding that there's still work that's going on as the people we're with, they're talking with locals, trying to figure out where this people group is. And so as we go, like, it's been like 2 days and I haven't really heard anything. So I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know if we're wasting our time here or what. And one of the guys we're with, he came and he kind of updated us. He was like, hey, so we found out where this people group is. They're actually on the other side of the mountain, so we're not going to have an opportunity to share the gospel with them this time. But we found out that they're there. And we've also located 5 other people groups that we looked into the IMB database, and they don't even have them. They didn't know they existed. They didn't know they were here. So we found 5 more people groups who are unreached, unengaged. And so that, to me, was just such an encouragement of, wow, like, what we're doing here really matters. And although I may never get the opportunity to share the gospel with these people, because of us coming here, because of us finding these people, now there's planning, there's strategizing of, okay, how are we going to get back to share the gospel with these people so they can hear the good news, so they can hear that Christ died for their sins. And we did, even on our trekking back down, we did have some opportunities to share the gospel with people who had never heard of the gospel before. They may have heard of Christianity or may have heard the name Jesus, maybe not, but even if they had heard those, they had no real understanding of what the gospel is, of what the actual story and the meaning behind it is. So it was just super amazing to get to be a part of that, finding those people groups so that now there can be an active effort made to share the gospel with those people.
Man, I'm telling you, that's an awesome story, isn't it? You know, these guys spent 2 months on a different side of the world doing some amazing treks and getting to see a lot of beautiful areas, but at the same time reaching people that are totally unengaged and trying to help the IMB in the planning stages. There's so many logistical things that go into reaching a group in a mountain area, and it's just so neat for you guys to have that experience. Landon, why don't you share a little bit about kind of one of those treks and what, like, some of the stories behind that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we were in 2 very different areas throughout our time. We spent about half of our summer in a place that's just as flat and it's farmlandy as the Mississippi Delta and hotter than it is here, believe it or not. And we spent half of our time there, and then the other half was spent in the mountains, freezing cold, trekking, like Jeremiah said. So we had the opportunity, as we were down in the lower areas, to share with an unreached, unengaged people group. Just the last 6 months, the locals that we have been working with, they've started engaging this people group. They've learned a lot about them. They've located where they live. It's been a long journey for that people group. They used to live in the mountains, and then they were moved out of their homeland, and they were honey hunters by trade, so honey hunters and fishermen in a big river that's nearby, and they don't do that anymore. They've been pushed out. Now they're farmers, and so it took a while to locate them, and so we got to go and spend a lot of time in that village. We spent multiple days in those villages with that specific people group, sharing the gospel. And we even met a Christian that has been a Christian in that area for 20 years. And so we were able to encourage him to share with his family, his friends that are in this people group, and to also, he was able, I think, to follow up with some people that we shared with that were wanting to hear more, wanting to learn more. And so it was an amazing time. It was really cool to learn about the people, to learn about their beliefs, because a lot of this area, they have many, many different beliefs. We were in Sunday school today, we were talking about the Buddhists. The Buddhists, they have these prayer flags and these prayer wheels, and they spin them, and as the prayer flags flap in the wind, they believe that's prayers going up. But it's just empty, heaping phrases that do no good. We talked about idols as we walked around the streets. We would walk past people literally carving an idol out of wood or making it out of metal with their hands. And in Isaiah, there's a passage all about idol makers. You can go read it. It says, it talks about how whenever you make an idol out of wood, you shape it, you form it, you worship half of it, and then the other half you go and burn on the fire to cook your food. So why would you worship something you're also using for food and to burn? And so it's really hard to walk through those areas and to see all of the lostness. Yet in the darkness, we saw light peeking through. We met a Christian who's been there for 20 years in this unengaged, unreached people group, and we were able to encourage him to continue to share with his family and friends. We saw three young people around our age come to faith in that people group. We shared the gospel with them, and they put their faith in Jesus. And so the light is breaking through. The Lord is not done working. It's not like he's just looked over that area, but he is at work in all those areas. And even now, as they've been located, these people groups Jeremiah were talking about have been located now. Like he said, there's strategy. People are striving to get there. And so, yes, there's physical barriers, and yes, there's spiritual barriers, but we've got to be willing to break through that. And so, like what you said, like, what can we do more? Just in us, all of us going, the numbers we looked at, y'all have given so much. And Jeremiah pointed out to us on our trip in Philippians, Paul writes to the Philippians, and he's like, because of what you've given, I'm not worried about what you gave. I'm worried about the fruit coming from it that benefits you as well. It's credited to your account. So all of the giving, all the fruit that comes from the giving, it's not about the giving, it's about the fruit. And that's credited to your account as well for what you've given, the way you've prayed, the way you've encouraged, and everything that you've done for all of us. And also as we want to equip you to go as well into those people groups. So it was an amazing time to see that.
Man, that's awesome. Thank you guys so much for sharing. Thank y'all for spending your whole summer going. That's an amazing sacrifice. And the Lord's really going to bless you guys for that. He already has, and he's going to continue to do that. Man, I hope that you will come up and ask these guys some more questions. We can't deal with every detail of how they trekked up in the mountains and slept in tents and had a lot of amazing experiences, met a lot of neat other Christians from other places. And so find them afterwards and ask them questions. Next up, we're going to have Lily Gates, our last missionary here. Lily took the third trip to Ecuador in June, and Lily, talk to us about what did you learn about yourself from this trip?
I would say it's a combination over the three trips that I have taken to Ecuador of I had to learn pretty quickly this year that it's not about what I can do in 10 days. You guys that have been multiple times, you understand that Casa de Fe is a long-term mission. It is about investing in the Tias and the children that they take care of over time. It's such a blessing to be able to go and understand that when I return that there will still be children and Tia's there taking care of the children. It's a big puzzle, and I get to be one small piece that gets to go. And our teams have the ability to go and step into what God is already doing in Casa de Fe, and so it's a blessing to be able to do that.
That's awesome. One of the things when we were talking about your trip was that you had a really unique experience of getting to see kind of the extremities of the care that happens. Share about that.
Yeah, so at the beginning of our trip, we got some great news that two little girls at Casa de Fe were getting adopted by the same family. And it was amazing to be able to see their excitement and a little bit of fear also that they're stepping into a new place, a new home, a new family that they get to be with forever. Got to teach some English while we were there to do that. But also as we were ending our trip, there was a beautiful baby boy dropped off by a family who had abandoned him. He wasn't even quite a year old. And beautiful, perfect, healthy baby boy. And so many families strive to have that, and a family who was given that by the Lord, dropping him off by the authorities. But that's the whole point of what Casa de Fe is continuing to grow. Every time I've gone back, there's been new faces because of things like that. And it's such a beautiful place where when things like that happen, they can rely on the Tias and the people that work there to continue to take those kids in.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. You guys have gotten a chance to experience. We're going to ask each person to go back, and we've asked them to give us a picture. and tell us a little bit about this picture. This first picture is actually of somebody who's not here, Sarah Todd Adcock. And she messaged me this week, and she wanted me to just to kind of read this about her trip. She had a chance to go with Pine Lake Church in Starkville on where she's in school. They went on a trip this spring break. She said, "This spring break, I had the opportunity to travel to Kampala, Uganda, with Pine Lake Church in Starkville. We were partnered with Show Mercy Ministries. Our mission was to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to share the gospel through both our words and actions. Each day began with devotion and worship before serving the community. And while I was there, I had the opportunity to share the gospel through door-to-door evangelism, lead Bible lessons in different schools, pray with patients in hospitals, share a testimony with a women's ministry, share the gospel with men in prison, commission and celebrate a community receiving clean water for the first time, build a stove for a family in need, serve at the Show Mercy Medical Clinic, and spend time encouraging children. Most of the people we ministered spoke Luganda, so the Show Mercy staff had to translate all of our conversations. Throughout the week, our team was challenged to cross our chicken wire by stepping out of the comfort zone and trusting God to work through us. Many seeds were planted, and we celebrated as several people gave their lives to Christ. One of the greatest blessings of this trip was witnessing the faith and joy of the Ugandan people despite their hardships. I was reminded that God is in control, and his love reaches across every culture and language. One of the most meaningful parts of the trip was sponsoring a four-year-old girl named Nolin because of the First Baptist's generous gift. And she dreams of becoming a doctor, and because of sponsorship, she is now able to attend school and have her basic needs met. This experience strengthened my faith, deepened my trust in God's plans, and reminded me that he can use anyone who is willing to step out in faith and simply say yes. I'm so thankful for First Baptist prayers and generosity, which helped me make this life-changing opportunity possible." So y'all thank Sarah Todd when you see her. Next up, we're going to have this picture right here.
This is Layla on the left, and on the right is my Hannah bug. At first I said, "Why this little one on the left?" And after I saw Sherry pick her up and hold her in her arms, it came clear. This was Hannah all over. In her eyes, both of those children, I saw the lostness in their heart and the longing for love and for just someone to take care of them. And it took a little while because Layla was very timid at first. It took some coaxing from Sherry and Wendy. And I went to bed each night praying to God for that child and all the other children there at CASA, but mainly her, because she just reminded me so much of my little one. And throughout the week, you could see her opening up more and more and more. And when we were playing with the children there, she would open up a little bit more. And about the third day there, when we were there, she started laughing. And I said, "Lord, thank you." And by the end of the trip, she was letting me hold her. She didn't want a man to hold her at all. But by the end of the trip, she was letting me love on her, play with her, do elephant calls in her ear that I do with all my little ones. And they just loved it. You know, God tells us in James that we should search and protect our widows and orphans. And that's his word. And I just thank God that there are going to be more Laylas and there'll be more Hannahs in the world. But there are also going to be more families like my family and Wendy's family that will take them and love on them and show them what true love is from their Savior and their Lord. And I'm so thankful to be just a small part of that. And I appreciate
you. That's awesome. Great, great story. Thank you. You don't get that experience from not going.
These beautiful mountains can be seen almost everywhere in the city that we were in and all throughout the countryside. They are the evidence of the greatness of the God we serve and the strength and beauty that can be found in Him. These peaks point to the heavens where He resides, while His Holy Spirit reaches even into the deepest valleys to draw the people that He loves to Him, to Himself. Please join us in praying that these people will come to know the Creator of these magnificent mountains as their Creator also, and will accept Him as their Savior who loves them and has paid the price for their sins so that they can be forgiven and be in heaven too.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. All right, Wendy?
I got another child story. We have lots of them. But this little fella, I went twice this year. God blessed us with opening the door twice. I went in January. And then I got to go back in July. This little boy, when I was there in January, all he could do was lay on his back on the floor and scoot around. And I really wasn't sure if he realized the world around him. Well, when we got ready to leave, me and Steve was taking pictures, and we call him Zoom Zoom. His name is Gabriel. And I said, Steve, take a picture with him. And when I did, that little boy picked up his little head for just a minute, and he smiled for that picture. And that was God's way of saying, they understand, they hear, and they love us back. Before I forget, I want to thank our church for your support, your prayers. Every one of you that give to all these mission funds opens the doors for all of us and even you to go. And I challenge you, if God's laying it on your heart, go. And if you can't go, continue to pray. Zoom Zoom, when I went back in July, he could sit up and he could play with toys sitting up. He couldn't walk, he can't stand, but he could sit up. And that in 6 months was God showing me what our prayers was doing for those children. It was precious.
Thank you. Continue. And then one of the things about this day is just to help inform your prayers. Pray for these ministries. Pray for these missionaries. We hadn't even mentioned some of their names, but pray for them. All right, Jeremiah.
Yeah, so this is, while we were on that mountain trek, we stopped in a village for one night, and so we went up into that village to try and share. And this guy on the left is a Buddhist lama, so that's basically like their priest. And he's the priest for the village. And so we went and got to have a long conversation with him and got to share the gospel with him. And he was very interactive. He asked questions. He talked back. sorry. And but this picture to me, not only this interaction, but like just encapsulates so much of like what we were able to do this summer is we got to go and sit with people in their homes and just talk with them, just learn about what they believe. And then just get to share with them the gospel and the good news of Christ. And just circling back to what Landon said about Philippians 4, in that passage, Paul says, he's talking to the Philippians, he says, you know how you partnered with me in giving for my ministry. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. So what he's saying is he's not seeking the money that he gets from them or whatever type of aid they give, but he's seeking that how can through what they give I be faithful to the gospel and the fruit that I'm able to do, the people I'm able to share with, the places I'm able to go because of what you've given, that's credited to your account too. And so giving is not some type of secondary work in the work of the gospel. It's not like there's the sharing the gospel and then there's the people who give to support. No, giving is partnering together and being an active part in that. Even though you never meet these people, like these people that we were able to share with, like you had an active role in that. As well as Paul in Romans, he's talking about praying. He says, strive together with me in your prayers. The idea that praying isn't just some secondary support from afar, but that you're striving together with the person you're praying for when you're praying for them. But yeah, this was just one of many amazing conversations we were able to have. And he rejected the gospel very strongly, but still to know that he had never heard before and he had the opportunity to hear the gospel. And so it was just a really cool opportunity for me.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing, Art. Landon?
All right, so this is a similar picture. So this is not in the mountains. It's down in that lower area I mentioned. And this is within that tribe. So the gal on the left in the blue, he's waving a scarf to kind of cool us off. But Jeremiah and Austin, we had another friend from Mississippi State on this trip with us. He's not in the picture. But they had the opportunity to share with him a few weeks before this, him and a group of guys a few weeks before this. They got to share, and those guys were asking a lot of questions, were really interested, wanted to learn more about the gospel. And so we taught them more, and then a few weeks later, we were able to go back to follow up, to teach more, to share more in this village of this unreached tribe. And they ran into this guy again and his same friends. And so they were able to teach them more out of the Bible. And then he was like, hey, I want you to come to my house. I want you to meet like my whole family. I want you to share this with every single one of them. He was on fire. And so he hopped in the truck with us and we were riding through the village and, we were stopping and he was encouraging people and all this crazy stuff was happening. It just showed the power of the word of God, that it is a two-edged sword. It's here to pierce. And the word of God had just kind of taken a hold on him. And, he was super enthusiastic about learning more, and we didn't see him come to faith, but we were able to share with his entire family, as you can see in the picture. We sat there for about 30 minutes as he went around to houses, gathering them up. Come here. I want you to hear this. And so it was really, really cool to see just the power that the word had as we were just sharing with him, as we were teaching him, as we were just able to, like Jeremiah said, enjoy some life with him, learn about his family, learn about what they do for their occupation and in their work. And as we were walking through and driving through the farmlands with the river off to the side, seeing them walking up with fish that they had just caught in the river, just all this stuff, and then get to sit down at a house and then just gather around and to share the truth of the gospel that none of them had ever heard. It was really, really special to be able to do that.
Man, that's awesome. You guys, as you think about this mission in specific, I just hope that you'll pray for the local partners that they left behind. A lot of those guys are still there ministering, following up. Pray for the people they had a chance to talk to. All right, Lily.
All right, I chose this picture because it is a pair of twins. This is Samir, the little boy in the yellow, and Samira, his twin sister. They have a very beautiful and unique story of they have been at Casa de Fe for a majority of their life, but they both have gone through so many different things while being there. Samira actually has cerebral palsy and is nonverbal. The first time I went to Casa de Fe, she was not able to hold herself up in her own bed. This year when we went back, she did not even have to use ankle braces or knee braces. She was able to walk on her own and play with the kids as if nothing was wrong. No cerebral palsy. Other than being nonverbal, she is extremely functional. And then Samir, this past November, December time, he actually had appendicitis and ended up in the emergency room and then ended up on the ventilator for a period of time. Throughout that time, his only concern was his sister. he continually talked about his sister, about getting back to Samira. And it was such a blessing to be able to go back and see the faithfulness of the Lord, and getting to hear that news in December with my twin sister and falling on our knees to just pray, Lord, please reunite him with their sibling. Please send him back to Casa de Fe. Please heal him. And to be able to go back in the end of June and July, and to walk up to the little play area, and he comes up running with his sister in hand to come and say, Emma and Lily, you're back. And to be able to give them a hug and just know the faithfulness of the Lord through such a trying time. And that's what Casa de Fe is for. It is for those children, and to love on those children, but to keep them healthy and to keep them together.
Wow, that's amazing. Guys, thank y'all so much for going. Would you guys give them a hand? This has been an amazing time. Thank y'all so much.